Missionaries tell the story about rescuing a dying man on the streets of India. It's a true story. There are many people on the streets of India, children mostly, but also some adults. And this man lived in extreme poverty. He was considered an untouchable. In the Indian society, untouchables are those who are on the lowest ground of how the world works, and they are put there because of extreme religious and racial prejudice. Just because of your background or what family you came from, you might be considered an untouchable. The caste system in India was outlawed in 1947, so untouchables aren't to be treated the way they are, but most people ignore the law, and most of the people in India who live in the rural areas, which is the majority of the population, are still affected by the caste system, and there are many untouchables looking for a touch from people and a touch from God. Well, the dying man wasn't able to recover from his illness, but before he died, he said this: "All my life, I've been treated like an animal." I don't know if you've ever been feeling like an untouchable, but that's what he felt like. But he said this: "But now I get to die in peace because I've been treated like a human being." And the love that was shown to him, the respect that was shown to him, helped him put his faith in Christ, and somebody who was an untouchable really became somebody who changed lives even from his deathbed and was able to have an impact on others. Jesus would teach us that nobody is untouchable. Everybody matters to God. Everybody matters to Him. And He said His eye is on the sparrow, God's eye is on the sparrow, and we know He watches untouchables. And He reaches out in caring for them. Back in the first century, sparrows were considered birds that didn't matter much. You can get two sparrows for a penny. So that was a great deal. And Jesus said, don't be afraid when you're treated like a sparrow, somewhat insignificant, passed over, like you don't matter. A sparrow can't even fall to the ground apart from the will of God and His compassion being involved. So you are worth more than many sparrows. Take heart. You count to God. You matter to Him. God's eye's on the sparrow, and I know He watches me, the song said. He watches you. You matter to God. Nobody matters to God more than you. The most holy person in the world doesn't matter to God any more than you matter to God. His eye is on you. You're not to fear what goes on around you. Have one good fear in your life. That's the fear of God. That's saying, my reputation with God is more important to me than my reputation with others. That's the most important one in your life. And so fear God. He's the one that holds your soul in His hands. And He'll take you to heaven through trusting Him, or He does have the power to destroy body and soul and send us to hell. We need His care, His mercy. God watches over those who feel like untouchables, whether it was His disciples going to go out into a big, mean world and most of them lose their lives, or you and I facing whatever enemy we face. Many people in our society feel like untouchables. If you go to a nursing home and walk up and down the halls, somebody will reach out to you and maybe say help or want you to touch them. Would you stop and say hello or touch them? Sometimes older folks in our society are looked down upon and not respected. The story of a man who turned 80 years old, he got a birthday card. On the front it said, "Do older men wear boxers or briefs?" And he opened the card and it says, "Depends." There. If you get a little older, sometimes you feel like you're untouchable. Teenagers feel untouchable and like they don't matter. There's a store in my neighborhood that has a sign right on the front door: only two teenagers in the store at once. You know, my three teenage friends, they can't come with me. Only two. How do you pull that off with any other group? Only two men in at once, two women, two whatever. But teenagers often feel like a subculture, But God knows, and He reaches out to them. Disabled people often feel untouchable. Cancer patients, minority races, AIDS patients. But the Bible tells us Jesus is no respecter of persons. Everybody matters to Him. Everybody, no matter how old, how young, from the littlest one to the biggest one. And our Lord is without prejudice. In fact, He's the only one in the whole universe who has no prejudice. And He wants us to learn from His heart about that, how you and I treat other people. He says the hairs on our head are numbered, and take heart, we're worth a lot to Him. God calls His people to be in the same way He is. You know, God has favorites even though He's without prejudice. And guess who He favors? He favors you. You might not have known that, but you're in the age of grace. God's favor is on you, says the Bible. And He favors you above anything else in all creation. He favors you more than the Rocky Mountains or the great oceans or sparrows or dogs or cats, especially cats, someone would say. But you are a favorite of God. And there's two groups of people in the whole world who at times feel like they are people who don't matter or they're untouchable. And these two groups are pagans and Christians. That pretty much covers everybody. That's what you are today. You come to church. You're either a pagan or a Christian. A pagan is a person who has yet to receive Christ in their life. Don't be put off by the word pagan. Jesus used the name pagan referring to people who didn't believe in the one true God and didn't follow Him. Most pagans I know are proud to wear the badge pagan. They're glad if you're a pagan. You're glad you're a pagan because you don't want to turn to God yet. Well, how does the Lord feel about the untouchable pagan? If you're a pagan, do you matter to Christ? Jesus said the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. So Jesus is on a mission to move toward you if you have not received Him. I think in a church service, if anybody hasn't believed in Christ, the Holy Spirit is really close to that person and talking to them and saying, hey, God can give you direction and be your salvation, and you need Him. Christ comes to you and says, I want you to be my follower. That's how He feels about the pagans, the many unbelievers that you and I pass every day. In John chapter 3, Jesus said He was sent into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. So Jesus is out not to condemn those who already feel condemned, but rather to give the gift of salvation. Wow, what value He has to them. And some people value catching fish. Jesus values catching pagans. Jesus said about those who were lost, He would choose you. I don't know if you've ever been chosen by somebody very important. God says, I choose you. And we either say, yeah, I'm glad, thank you. Or we say, well, I don't think so. Well, I don't choose you back, Jesus. You know, rejection of Jesus is not just sitting on a fence and shrugging your shoulders and say, I'm busy. It's basically saying no to the King of Kings. And if you're an unbeliever, you should know you're worth more to Christ than the whole world. You really are. In fact, one time Jesus was offered the whole world, all its power and all its kingdoms. And He said, by the devil, and He said, no, thank you. I'd rather go give my life to save pagans from sin and death and hell. What a great Savior He is. The prophet Jeremiah would say how the Lord feels about you. You matter to Him. The Lord has an everlasting love for you. And Jesus said, I have come to call sinners to repentance. So He takes affectionate action toward you all the time and to those around us who don't know Christ. He is their true identity. Not even their sin, but their Creator, their Redeemer, who they need to trust. So if you have never received Christ, trust Him, come to Him. Believe in Him. You matter to Him. The whole world could toss you aside like an old shoe, And God would pick you up and say, you matter to me. I'm going to save you and use you for my honor. Now, how does the Lord feel about Christians? Christians sometimes feel left out, as unbelievers do. If you feel left out, Christ knows how you feel. He was left out the most at the cross when he was abandoned by everyone. And Christians sometimes feel like they don't matter. We're often like a subculture in the world around us, untouchable. We often whine when we're mistreated, as if, you know, I'm totally shocked. Here I am, a Christian, and somebody mistreated me. Am I the first this has ever happened to? You know, I read the Bible. No, I guess not. Jesus gives the disciples fair warning about that. Apparently, they're not put off by the mistreatment of the world. But Christians, like those who don't believe, often put our value in other things other than God, other than Christ. That we would matter to Him the most should be most important. Often, we're susceptible to saying, well, maybe I matter because of what I have. You know, God, He's proud of me. I have a big bank account. Or He feels extra sorry for me because I don't have a very big bank account. But our value to God is not based on what we have. It's not whether we're in the red or the black. He values our soul. Okay, none of that's going to follow us into heaven. We're to use it for His honor while we have time. We matter to God, and our worth to Him has nothing to do with how much power we have. You know, power is basically, do I get my way? Everybody would like to get their way all the time. But God says, you know, His way is best. Our value is not measured by our intelligence. Most of us can breathe a sigh of relief for that one. There. It's not based on our spiritual gifts. You know, you might have a spiritual gift that really shines, and other might have a quiet one. God values the quiet one just like the one more demonstrative. And our value is set by Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. He makes you who you are. You matter to God. And that's something I sensed in a really good way. As soon as I became a believer, I felt like the mature believers called me to serve and counted me a part of the group as fast as those who were believers for 40 years, you know. They said, hey, great to have you. And that was a blessing. What does God say about the Christian? How does He value us? How does He say we matter? First of all, He says, you're a member of the body of Christ. Wow. I have members of my immediate family, my wife, my two sons. They're like an extension of who I am, and probably me of them. So we function together. When one is not functional, the other ones notice it. Okay, if I sleep in, everybody's, you know, wondering what's going on. Same thing with the body of Christ. If I am not with church and with other people, it matters to God. Because I matter. So He'd like me there, functioning and working and serving and praising. As a Christian, you matter to the Lord. You're part of His body. You don't get to pick your family as a somebody in your house. You don't get to pick your body of Christ, your church family. So I'm thinking, well, if I just go to another church, you know, that'll be better for me. It won't be as good because you'll be there. Same as you were here. So, the body of Christ, God has value to you, and He values you. There's an example of a man who's been at his work for 55 years in one place, I think I shared before. And before a big event, he goes around and touches every person involved in his team. He goes and taps them on the shoulder or hits them on the head or whatever he does. He's a football coach, Joe Paterno. And before the game, he'll go around and say something to every player, whether it's the first-string quarterback or the fourth-string punter. And I thought, well, what a good model of the body of Christ. know, so everybody's ready. Maybe it has something to do with the, you know, four or five national championships. I don't know. What do you think? But that's part of the body. You're called an ambassador for Christ. That's how God feels about you. A citizen of heaven. You're God's workmanship. More valuable than the Mona Lisa. That's you. You are who you are because of the artist who put you together. And you're really a miracle from God because you're born from above through believing in Christ. Can't get any better than what the Lord has given you. Now, the principle that God puts in our hearts, since everybody matters to Him and we matter to Him, if we could show people that they matter to God and to us, that'll open a big door for the true good news of Christ. They're loved by God, and God would want to be in their lives. And so the big challenge is for us to do that. I'm just going to take the Bible verse, love your neighbor as yourself, and put some applications in there that God would touch those who you might think are untouchable or the world might think are untouchable with His grace and truth and gospel. Okay, so as God's Holy Spirit talks to you, you let those people come to mind. They're all around us in the world. Maybe you feel that they're part of the body of Christ sometimes. You touch your church or love your church person as yourself. That would be a good start. Love your enemy as yourself. Jesus taught that. That's hard to do. And only by the grace of God can we do it. But when you do that, you're strong in God. Love your enemy as yourself. Love your grumpy person as yourself. God strategically puts grumpy people in our lives so that they might be thorns in our flesh so we would grow in the love and patience of Christ. For some people, it's you're the grumpy person who needs to be impacted by God's love for yourself. Love your boss as yourself. Each one of us have had bosses that were a little bit hard to deal with. And we weren't tremendous ourselves as employees. And in terms of those in how they view government, love your conservative as yourself and love your liberal as yourself. I was talking to somebody this week and I said, they were talking about something. I said, hey, love your liberal as yourself. And then he laughed. But he needed to hear that because he was really wound up about something that he wasn't doing anything good about other than taking up my time. complaining about something that he wasn't involved with. Love your addict as yourself. You know, people have patterns of behavior that won't be broken unless God breaks through with His grace and there's a support team to take them through the difficulty. Love your addict as yourself. Christians should be a haven of repentance for those who struggle. I mentioned love your teenagers as yourself. Teenagers love your parents as yourself. Here's a tough one probably for people because of the truth of God's Word. Calling sin, sin, and yet loving the sinner. Love your homosexual as yourself. As you come across the person who says, yeah, that's me and I'm good with that. And unless you love them with the love of Christ, they will not turn to truth and won't be restored and rescued to a straight lifestyle unless they know, well, at least the Christians love us. Maybe they have the truth also about how to live before God. Love your pagan as yourself. How else would they come to meet the Lord? We have some people in the church love people of different faiths so that they might meet Christ. Love your Muslim as yourself. We had a wedding here about a year or two ago, and there was some guests who were of the Muslim faith because the gal was dressed up in that way. And my first thought was, you know, sinfully, well, why are they come here, you know? But hopefully, throughout the worship service and relating to them, they sensed, well, there must be a Savior, the way these people respond to God and to one another and open a door for that. To show that people matter to God and people matter to you. And the Bible tells us a warning. He who doesn't love remains in death. Wow. Any area of my life where I'm teaching, talking to somebody as an untouchable, I'm basically remaining in death. But if we show God's love is made complete. One final story and example. A great Christian leader had a dream. And he dreamt there was a beggar on the street. So in his dream, he went up to the beggar, gave him some clothes, gave him some food, and gave him some friendship for a while. The beggar turned and walked away. He turned and walked away. And he turned around, and the beggar took off his cloak, and it was Christ. And that's the message Jesus said, when you treat the least person a certain way, that's how we treat the Lord. We basically love the Lord the way we love the person we love the least. That's pretty much a true measure of our spiritual maturity at that point. That's a high standard, but that's the one Jesus laid down. So to say to whoever crosses our path, might be even our own soul, you matter to God. God is with you. God can bring you through what you're going through. He'll be your help and the one who shows the change of life that you need through His grace. Let's pray together and ask God to make us people who follow after His heart. Lord, thank You that people matter to You, everyone. There's no one You're passing over and saying, well, let's not love that one. That one's hopeless. Or that one can't count. That one can't receive salvation. You're for everyone. Thank You. Your Bible says it's not Your will that anybody should perish, but all come to the knowledge of the truth. I ask, Lord, that people would be at peace with You. If someone does not know You, they would say, Jesus, be my Lord. And help them follow You all the days of their life. Convict of sin and convict of the good way to live with Christ. And for believers to be people who say, people matter. They matter to God invaluably. They matter to us invaluably. And work through us in mission that way. In Jesus' name. Amen.